This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, you're listening to The Property Show on The Morning Run. It's our weekly take on all things property related. I'm Sim Wee Boon. As the government and the private sector tries to climb out of the economic glut caused by the pandemic and the subsequent movement restrictions, many are left wondering what will the recovery look like and perhaps what more can be done. With numerous economic stimulus packages to prop up the economy, the government is hard-pressed to instill confidence and get the markets moving. So joining us on the show today for some insights is Sheldon Fernandez, Country Manager of Property Guru Malaysia. Thank you for being on the show, Sheldon.
Good morning, Sim. Thank you for having me.
Okay, let's start off with the first question, and I think it's in most people's mind when it comes to property, which is the property price. Now, what has Property Guru observed in terms of property price trends since the MCO started, specifically in the hotspot areas like the Klang Valley, Johor and Penang?
So, good question. I guess from a Property Guru perspective, we measure price from a position of asking price. So clearly, price can also be measured from transaction, and that normally comes out in the NAPIC data, which, you know, in 6 months' time, we'll get to see what has transpired during the Q1, Q2, which is the pandemic period. So we measure asking price by producing what we call a property market index. So we aggregate all those price and we then launch it into an index. Likewise, we also measure sentiments, which basically on-the-ground survey from directly from the consumers around what they think about the current property market conditions. And what was interesting, though, was, you know, we were basically on a downward trend over the last, you know, if you look back 4 or 5 quarters, we've been on a downward trend in terms of asking price and sentiment. That's because of the challenges we've had with the property sector and, you know, fundamentally, that's an affordability issue that we've been facing all this while. But what was interesting, as I said, was coming into the year in Q1, we've actually seen a slight pickup in terms of sentiment and also asking price. When I say slight, we are looking at an increase of 0.63% in Q1 2020 in terms of the Malaysia Property Market Index. One thing for sure, and it's no secret, is demand, supply, and transactions overall were hit hard in Q2. And I think in a few weeks' time, we'll produce Q2 property market index. We'll see that reflected in the numbers. So demand and sentiment obviously plummeted because people were basically focusing on, you know, the bread and butter issues, you know, concerning the pandemic, obviously. And even with that, you will also see the fact that the searches in our website has not gone down to levels that we thought it would go. In fact, it's gone down to the levels where it would normally be reflected during a holiday season. So in that sense, property is still very much a fundamental need, I would say, still in the Malaysian population at large. And people are still, you know, out there looking. For example, you know, we take March, April, and May. In terms of location, we obviously seen all areas drop in March and April. But very quickly in the month of May, I think once people sort of got used to the fact, like, look, this is a pandemic, we're going through it, we'll come out of it. In the month of May, we started seeing sentiment moving, you know, or moving in the upward direction in most major markets that is outside of the central region. So primarily Johor and Penang, so an increase of 22% in Johor and about 19% in Penang when it comes to more searches happening in those areas. What was interesting also, we got to see the price point people were looking for properties. And typically people were searching around 500,000 to 1 million value worth of properties. And in terms of type of properties though, it was also quite obvious to us that people were looking for terrace homes, condominiums, and service residents because this came out among the highest interest among the user in terms of what they would look for when the sentiment recovers. The lowest of that, obviously, were the bungalows.
It sounds like there was no supposed big fall or big changes. I mean, do you see it continuing for the rest of the year, or is it just kind of like a sudden reaction?
It's hard to say because, you know, clearly this is unprecedented. I mean, look, to be honest, the market has faced downturns, you know, over cycles, right? But this one is truly unprecedented. It's hit almost every sector. It's not just financial in nature. It's also health in nature. So it affects everybody regardless. But, you know, in order to sort of know or sort of have a view of what, you know, we think is going to happen, we obviously look back at data surrounding the previous crises. And I think one of the biggest ones, or where we had the most severe impact, were the 97-98 financial crisis. And during that period, what we found is the markets have actually gone down, or asking price and transaction were actually down 32% at its lowest in terms of volume, transaction volume, and down 47.6% in terms of values, right? So volume and value, transaction-wise, have plummeted to 32.3% and 47.6% respectively. So we're saying, look, that's probably the most severe downturn in terms of data we've seen. You know, given the nature of what we've gone through, this pandemic, we're saying we're likely to see impact of that levels, at least in the foreseeable future. But one thing that was certain, though, regardless of the crisis over the years, the market seemed to bounce back very, very quickly. And I say very quickly, we're talking about a year or two timeline after the crisis. In this case, we're thinking 2021, 2022. But like I said, this is unprecedented. We are talking about a major pandemic. You know, there's still no word around a cure or a vaccine, at least for the virus. I think until that comes back or comes out into the market, we start seeing things stabilize even more.
Well, then this brings up another question. It's like with every downturn, every gap in a market, it's also an opportunity. Do you see what we're experiencing now as an opportunity for people to make money? I mean, are there more deals being made? Are there more offers being made?
Yeah, good question. I think everyone's sort of looking out for good opportunities all the time, you know, regardless of the period. But what I'll say about, you know, property, it's very sentiment driven. So you got to look at, you know, how people feel about the property market, because at the end of the day, it is one of the largest investments everybody will make. And so if they feel good about it, then you probably see that reflected into action and obviously into numbers. One thing's for sure, though, is, you know, the sentiment has been, like I said, on an upward trend in Q1. It's gone down in Q2, but, you know, as I just mentioned, we'll probably see a rebound. In terms of opportunities, the market, you know, has got positives in there. One thing's for sure is, you know, the recent Panjana announcement and the incentives for the property sector will drive sentiment forward. I think, you know, every little bit helps during this time. And it's probably going to drive sentiment towards upward. I don't think it's going to be a major impact, though, but it definitely helps, like I said. And with that, you're going to find offers come through the system, especially from developers. And hopefully that, you know, you see an uptick in that. But when it comes to, you know, buying a property, it really depends on what are you buying it for, right? Is it for, you know, your own stay? Is it for investment? And those two scenarios play very, very differently. But given the current times and given the current situation, I think there's an opportunity for investment-grade properties, which is, you know, probably buy it at a good rate, hold on to it, and when the market picks up, you get an opportunity to sell it. I think there's an opportunity there clearly for investors. But one thing will help though is sentiment. So if people start seeing activity coming to the market, typically we also have a herd mentality. People will start, you know, following others in terms of taking action. But like I said, it really depends which bucket you fall into. Is it for your own stay or is it for investment?
And have you have any insights on any part of this market that's growing? Do you see more people that are going into for their own stay? Do you see more people that are actually trying to dip in for an investment over this period of time?
We looked at the data more closely. And if you take, for example, HOC last year, very, very successful in terms of driving sentiment. you know, clearly helped with the overhang situation in terms of the inventories were out there in the market. And when we worked with our partner property advisor, and when we sort of ran through the data, we realized there was a 4% increase in terms of first home buyers. So people were buying property for the first time. And that sort of gave an indication, like, back then last year, when, you know, affordability was a challenge, we still had, you know, things like cap to the third property when it comes to the loan to value at 70%. You know, we had RPGT back then. So investors weren't really active in the market unless, you know, you had the positive cash flow and you were going in for probably from a good investment point of view. But first home buyers, they buy it out of necessity. And we've seen that happen though. But like I said, I think with the recent announcement in Pajana, you could see the investors come back into the market because now they can, you know, get rid of their properties if they were really, really looking to sell, given the RPGT incentive, and also the fact that, you know, they've got a chance to own third property at almost a 90% loan value, right? So that's going to help as well bring back. So if people were seriously looking to sell, it's an opportunity to sell now. If they were seriously looking to buy, clearly there's incentives to buy as well.
Okay, we're going to go into a break for a few messages. Don't go anywhere. Stay right there. BFM 89.9. Welcome back. You're tuned into the Property Show on the Morning Run. I'm Sim Wee Boon. And with me today is Sheldon Fernandez, Country Manager of Property Guru Malaysia. Sheldon, what were your thoughts on the Penjana Initiative? Does it effectively help the property industry? And who does it help more, the developers or the consumers?
Yeah, I think, you know, Penjana was obviously much needed for all sectors, particularly in the property sector, given all the challenges and issues we've had. But I think the various measures, you know, serve to address market issues, but also, you know, to catalyze, to sort of act as a catalyst for sentiment. And I, like I said before, sentiment is very, very important in the property sector and also potentially unlocking pent-up demand that is much needed given the last 2 to 3 months this year. So we applaud it, we welcome it. I think it's going to help players across the sector, particularly developers, given a lot of it is centered around the HOC campaign, which basically helped developers with, you know, inventories that were already launched into the market. But in return, that also helps consumers because, you know, you've got incentives. The incentives basically are discounts that are needed in order to qualify for the particular campaign. You've got stamp duty exemptions. You've got loan fees obviously waived. So you've got a lot of incentive to go about, you know, to acquire the property. But the fundamental facts in terms of owning a property remains though. It's a long-term investment. You've got to think hard before you make that investment because you're going to tie it up to a very long-term repayment plan. So, you know, we encourage everybody to take the right measures, do your homework, make sure you're financially sound before you get into the transaction.
Well, there's a lot of talk about the exemption for the RGBT, some good, some bad. I mean, generally, what are your thoughts on the reintroduction of the exemption of the RGBT tax? And, you know, is it effective to spur the market?
So I think the RGBT is an interesting one because it's not like we're lifting it for good. There's a time frame attached to it, which is until the end of next year. So, you know, I think, you know, speculators will have their own challenges because, you know, it's within a short time frame. But I think those who were seriously thinking about selling in the past and, you know, always had this as a blocker will now seriously take action and go ahead and make that move. So you'll see people who've had, you know, 2 or 3 properties in the past that wanted to unlock the potential from that asset, free up some cash flow, will have that opportunity. And that should be healthy for the market. It will be for sure. And it also gives an opportunity for potential buyers to go and look for properties that will suit them. Obviously, we're talking about a secondary market, which this applies to as well. It's definitely going to be good for the market, in my opinion. Not too worried about speculators because of the time frame that's fixed to them.
What about the removal of the loan-to-value ratio for like a third housing loan onwards, you know, especially for properties priced minimum 600,000? There's a worry that, you know, home buyers who are already struggling might be overextended. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
So very good point. If you're struggling, you shouldn't get into the market. You shouldn't commit yourself to another property. But if you were, you know, if you properly, if you got positive cash flow, you know, you've got finance, you're financially sound, what in the past was more of a blocker in terms of, you know, going after your third property because of the 30% capital outlay that you needed to come up with. Now is the opportunity for those people to come into the market and say, you know, I want to go ahead and purchase my third property. I think this is where, you know, we're going to unlock more demand than we normally would have in the past. So this is going to bring back, in fact, more buyers into the market, and this should serve well for the industry as a whole. But like, you know, I just want to reiterate the point, this is not for everybody. This is more for people who are financially sound, who had challenges in the past, but, you know, will want to come back now in the market given the opportunity.
Oh, well, if I recall correctly, there's also some initiatives for foreigners buying into our local property. Does these initiatives make sense within this time period? I mean, given that the pandemic and the lockdowns and such, I don't imagine that foreigners would want to come in and buy property in Malaysia.
Yeah, we've seen that to be, you know, somewhat of a halt given the times, you know, people can't travel. Therefore, you can't come down, look at the property and make your decision. So with that, there have been some challenges, obviously, with foreign nationals buying property in Malaysia. That said, Malaysia still is a very attractive market for foreign investment. I mean, I give you an example. You know, we did a webinar for some of our clients, particularly targeting China as a market. And we normally, you know, have these webinars by addressing agents in those markets. And the reception was very, very well received. We had very high number of agents turn up. And that's a reflection of interest in Malaysia as a investment destination.
And this was during the MCO period?
During the MCO period, yes. So clearly during the MCO period, a lot of webinars really helped. That's one thing we've realized, and we've put out a lot of initiatives to help our developers with that. In fact, you know, we're starting to see that product now becoming a more common request, which is to address or to, you know, try to capture the audience digitally. And that helps. So, yeah, China, you know, particularly foreign nationals, and Malaysia will remain a very good investment for destination for Singaporeans, which is just across the border. When we do our property shows, this year, in fact, we're doing our property show digitally. So that's going to also be a tell sign whether or not, you know, the foreign buyers will come back into the market, but through various different channels, particularly the digital channels.
But what about the sub-sale market? Do you have any insights into that? Because an observation to the recent and even the past initiatives by the government, there's really not much into the sub-sale market. Do you have any insights to why is that so? And if the government does try to give some goodies for the subsidy market, what would it look like?
I think that's interesting. You know, like you, sometimes I wonder if it will help if we open up to sub-sale markets. But, you know, if you open up the sub-sale market, I think you're basically opening up to the whole market. And the reason why incentives are put out is to help businesses in particular. And I think, you know, developers, not just them, but they support a whole industry, if you like, you know, from the suppliers to the workers to various different industries, transportation, logistics, etc. So I think there's a further need to help the sector, particularly the developers, as opposed to the subsale market, because the subsale market is around, you know, owners putting out their properties to sell and try to unlock potential from there. But that said, the recent announcement, I think, will help given the fact that you know, the subsale market, the owners can benefit from the RPGT waiver. So if, you know, that was, like I said, a blocker in the past, that, you know, that's something that they can act upon, at least in the foreseeable future until the end of next year, and try to sell your property and unlock that potential, free some cash for you to either make further investments or, you know, save up on a bit of cash, based on the need.
And finally, I want to ask, what's your outlook like for the rest of the year? What can we expect, barring any unforeseen circumstances, second wave or whatnot?
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Second wave, it seems more real out there. But I think, if we were to sort of look back at history again, I always look back at data to sort of make any sound judgment moving forward. I think we'll ride out this year at the best we can. But like I said, there are incentives out there already in place. I think it will drive sentiment forward, but I think the impact, will be limited, at least for this year, mainly because I think people will need to adjust back, will look back at their portfolios. Investors will be looking back at their portfolios. People will be looking back at their financial situation and making plans and adjustments necessary in order to pave a way forward. My best guess is things, as per historic data, we start seeing pent-up demand come back after people make these adjustments and their plans, and then we'll start seeing transaction hopefully pick up and momentum pick up going into the new year. That's our take really for the rest of the year. I think, we remain neutral to the fact that this is unprecedented. People need time to make adjustments before they start taking actions. But we're hoping to obviously see this Panjana incentives work well for the industry at large. But in terms of timeline, we're thinking, going into the new year, if not end of H1 next year.
And that's all the time we have for today's property show. Thank you for being on the show, Sheldon. That was Sheldon Fernandez, Country Manager of Property Guru Malaysia. We've got the 10 a.m. news bulletin coming up next, followed by Enterprise. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.